When do you expect to see Patrick Laine in Columbus with the team? And is there a date that we'll likely see him on the ice?
Well, I think he's arriving as we speak, right around this time in Columbus, and then he's going to go through two negative tests and 48-hour quarantine, and he'll be joining our team on Monday.
Man, so that is, well, that's, you know, in these days, actually, that sounds simpler, Yarmo, than I thought it would be. So, congratulations for getting it done. I'm not sure what the Patrick Laine going in the other, or Dubois going in the other direction, entering Canada might be more complicated the way things are today. This is not ideally, you know, ideal circumstances for trying to make a deal. You've got a player that wanted out. It's a crazy year in a whole bunch of different ways. At what point did you have to, were you sure in your own mind that you were going to have to make a trade for Dubois?
Saturday morning when we finally agreed on what the terms were for the trade. I mean, you can never be sure before that, but it had become more urgent in the last couple of days before the trade, and we decided that we're going to move on if the deal's right. And finally, we were able to agree with Winnipeg, and both sides were happy.
How difficult is it to? I'm going to use the phrase distressed asset, and forgive me, I know that sounds like we're talking about, you know, selling a used car or a beaten up car or something like that. But how difficult is it, Yarmo, when you got a guy that people around the league are saying he's got to be traded, got to be traded, got to be traded. It's not going to work out. Patrick Laine, yeah, there were some issues in Winnipeg, but it seemed to be a little less public. How difficult is it for you to realize that you still got to get value? Like, we've seen the moves you've made in the past. You're clearly not afraid to take a gamble, or you're clearly not afraid to show faith in your players. I mean, we've seen this in the past. But how do you kind of make sure that you keep your eye on the goal without sort of feeling, look, I just got to get this done?
Well, I think it's fairly simple, because I had several teams call me about the player, and basically what I told everybody is that, I mean, I'm not in a rush. If you're just kicking tires or looking for a bargain or think that it is a distressed asset, as you called it, not me, but you, don't bother making an offer. And there were several teams that were serious about it and made fair offers. And that's what I appreciate when I have trade talks with other GMs. That's the way I'd like to operate, is that if I'm serious about something, I'm going to try to make a fair offer that makes the trade good for both sides, and both teams can move on happy and do a deal another time in the future. And like I said, there were several teams that made that effort, and we put them in order, ranked them, and thought that this one was the best of them, and here we are, moving on.
Yarmo, can you, once a player says, or his agent says, we want out, can you turn back? I've talked to Brian Burke about this a couple of times, and he told me that if he had a player that was unhappy, or an agent was unhappy for his player, he would always say to them, don't say the words, because, you know, if you demand a trade, you're going to get traded. Like, that's it. But, you know, it's sort of like ending a relationship. Can you, is that non-negotiable at that point? Is that, timing obviously is negotiable, and timing could change, but is it a done deal the moment a player or agent says we want out?
Absolutely not, in my opinion. And I think that there's two things I'd like to say. One is that players have all, through their agents, committed to CBA that has the teams, team has their rights for the first 7 years of service, or until certain age, whichever comes first. And, that's a commitment they made. That's an agreement they made through CBA. So live up to the commitment, live up to the agreement. And, when you have the right to become an unrestricted free agent, then you can go wherever you want. That's how this team stays the way it is, that we're, you know, all teams can be competitive through drafting and developing, and that's what we've all collectively bargained for. And I take commitments and agreements, contracts very seriously, and you shouldn't break them. And then that's one thing. And then the other thing is that in general, I would say that we want players that are proud to be here, proud to be part of the Columbus Blue Jackets, and proud to play for them, and go to battle for them every night. And if somebody's not, then we probably don't want you here. And those are probably the two things that I would say just on general level. But sometimes there's always different circumstances. I am very sympathetic to players that want to come and talk to me if they don't feel that they got an opportunity to excel in their profession, just because from the competitive standpoint, the depth of the team or something like that, and they're not getting an opportunity to play and pursue their dream and be the best they can in their profession. I try to help the players. I try to develop and have a plan with the players to become the best they can be. And if it's not possible in our organization, I'm willing to help. And I always say to the players that my door is open. You can come and talk to me about it, and we can discuss it. Often the agents do make that call, but I've always told our players that if you don't feel like you're getting a fair opportunity and it's making it harder for your career, come talk to me. And I'm always open for that.
Yarmo, in Patrick Laine joining the team, he is a guy you've known for a while. Just can you tell me a little bit what your relationship with him was, or how much you knew of him before he came into the NHL? Is he a guy that you know the family, or I'm just wondering if there was a pre-existing relationship there.
No, I don't know the family, but I've watched him play since he was 16 years old as an underage, under 18, and I've lived in that city, and I have a pretty good network in Finland, so I've done my homework and as far as how he has been growing up and what kind of person he is and what kind of teammate he is, and he's won a lot at a very, very early age with winning the championship with his club as an 18-year-old and World Juniors as an 18-year-old as well, being one of the best players in that tournament at that age is pretty remarkable. It doesn't happen very often. And, that tournament was in Finland, so those guys became superstars instantly after the tournament or during the tournament and after the tournament. So it's been fun to watch him grow, and we'll get to know him much better now that he's going to be part of our team. I've had several conversations with him in the last few days, and he's excited about the opportunity, and he's excited to come to Columbus, and we hope it leads to a long-term relationship.
He's obviously such an electric talent, Yarmo. What do you think? Do you have any? What do you think the ceiling is for him? He's already obviously an elite scorer in the league, but what do you think Patrick Laine will become as his career unfolds in Columbus?
Well, I know that he wants to be the best. He's had 44 goals as his highest number so far. He scored 36 as an 18-year-old. But he wants to be a 200-foot player. He wants to be a winning player. I know that that's important to him, that he wants to win. And but he's put a lot of emphasis in becoming a better all-around player. And, I still score goals. And I've said this many times that I think people underestimate how good of a passer he is. You overplay him, and he finds the seam and makes a great play. He's got a really good vision of the ice, and he can really snap the puck and pass it. And so you better be ready, thinking that he's going to shoot. All of a sudden, it's coming to your stick.
Yarmo, before we let you run, we talked about this. The NHL is playing this season in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. There have been a few hiccups. There have been some positive tests. I believe Columbus has had, you've had to deal with this, as have a lot of other general managers. Look, this is a learning process, I think, for everybody. What has surprised you so far about this season? and has anything surprised you just about the logistics of trying to play hockey and move players around outside a bubble in the middle of a pandemic?
We knew what we were getting into, and it's a challenge. It's very different from what we're used to. We're staying at a hotel in Chicago, and there's nobody else in the hotel. And, you know, not having any of the crowds and fans in the building, that's a challenge. But these guys are not only athletes, they're performers, and it's important for us, too. I mean, I look forward to every game day, putting the suit on, going to the rink and having the butterflies and getting the scene and hearing the crowd buzzing, and none of it's there now right now. So, you know, there are a lot of different challenges, but we got to do the best we can and stay positive and you know, stay healthy, most importantly, and hopefully the vaccinations are circulating quickly now, and we can get back to normal here in the near future. It would be very, very nice to finally put this behind us.